This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, I was watching with some fascination the events that were going on in a Tel Aviv court yesterday. And this involves a case where a former member of Knesset, Stav Shafir, has sued Yair Netanyahu, the son of our new-to-come-in, old already having been prime minister. She has sued him, and he has sued her in return for slander and sexual harassment involving social media posts and some of the exchanges that went on in some social media posts.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I read that. Very ugly, isn't it?
Very, very ugly. I mean, what went on in the social media and the posts that went backwards and forwards were pretty ugly. But what went down in the court yesterday was pretty ugly. And some reports say that Yair Netanyahu sat in the court with his feet on the chair.
Oh, no.
And that at one point he was apparently leaning up against the wall, standing up against the wall during the court proceedings and playing with his phone or sending messages with his phone or whatever he was doing with his phone. And also during the time that Stav Shafir was actually giving her evidence, he was screaming out at her that she was a bitch was really disrespectful to the court at one point. And they kicked him out of the court for contempt of court. All of this is pretty nasty and very, very disrespectful to the legal system. And even though Yair Netanyahu, of course, is an adult and is responsible for his own actions and really should be seen as a separate entity from Benjamin Netanyahu or from Sarah Netanyahu, who are his parents, one can't help but connect it all together and just connect the dots with the lack of respect that's being shown to the legal system. I don't really care whether you like or dislike the legal system, whether you think that the judge is there on merit or not on merit, or whether they might have some sort of a particular angle against you in the case that's being heard. But one would imagine that a certain minimum of respect is offered in a court case proceeding environment where there's a case going on. There's a certain respect that you give to the court, to the legal system, to the judge who presides over the case. And I am really, really concerned about some of the messages that are being sent about his behavior in court yesterday and the lack of respect that was shown, and to what extent that might be an extension. As I say, one can't help connecting it all together, but to what extent that might just be an extension of what is happening at home and some of the information and some of the education that he's receiving from his parents about how to regard Israel's court system.
I would even take it one step further, because surely he should be, as an adult, be able to say, if I behave badly like this in court, and it's clearly objectively bad the way in which he behaved, if I behave like this, it is going to cause an issue for my parents and for my father in particular, who is trying to form a government at the moment, who has detractors as well. Surely he would be able to even just toe the line a little bit off for his parents' sake.
Well, you see, there are some people who are saying that he effectively, Yair Netanyahu, is effectively behaving and saying things and doing things that are representative of his father, but things that his father cannot really say and do under the current circumstances, but that effectively it's a representation of what Benjamin Netanyahu may wish to say or do, if he was given the opportunity to do so.
Right.
Now, we will all draw our own conclusions, but certainly there is a school of thought that is presenting that view, and I can truly understand why people would think like that. When you see the behavior, it was just really, really disrespectful and something that I wouldn't want to see in a court case. I was listening to a discussion on Israeli radio this morning where they were talking about this, and one of the guys said, it doesn't really matter whether you think you have a very strong case, whether you feel that you're unjustifiably in court, whether you think, you know, that this is all a waste of time and money and energy. There is a certain minimum amount of respect that one thinks would be offered to a court, any court of law, no matter where you are in the world. And that clearly wasn't in evidence yesterday. But onto something completely different, and one thing that I just wanted to quickly throw open to you and the listeners. One of the Israeli newspapers has a headline running a competition for anti-Semite of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
And they've mentioned the top three finalists.
Ooh, who are they? Wait. We need a drum roll. Sorry, Anthony. We're not doing this without a drum roll. In the top three finalists in the anti-Semite category are...
So, apparently, the top three finalists in this newspaper are... Kanye West,
right,
who we've spoken about, and he doesn't need any introduction. Mohammed Khadid.
Oh, we're getting booing from the. We're just getting booing from the studio audience right now. Sorry, who was the second one?
Mohammed Khadid, mm-hmm. who is the father of Gigi and Bella Khadid,
yes.
Who have been very, very active on social media,
right.
And John Manadio II.
Right. Who's the third one?
The third candidate is a guy by the name of John Manadio II, who is apparently the head of the white supremacist group called Goyim Defense League.
Oh, I've seen that. Yes, I have seen that.
I mean, maybe there are anti-Semites of note, and maybe, you know, we do want to raise this up. But I'm not sure whether anti-Semite of the year is something is a competition that should be run by an Israeli newspaper. And why would we give these guys the time of day? Why?
Well, I'd love your thoughts on that. I'd love your thoughts. Is this in poor taste? Or should we be ignoring this, not doing this in this sort of tongue-in-cheek way, anti-Semite of the year finalists, three finalists, or is this the right way to call it out? I'd love your thoughts on it. 3451, and there's no right or wrong answer, but I just would love your thoughts on it. Wow, so those are some crazy, crazy stories. More serious, I don't know if it's more serious, but certainly a very serious story. An IDF soldier has been seriously injured when she was run over by a car driven by a terrorist. Tell us about this incident.
So this is an incident that took place near to a place called Kochav Yaakov, which is in the area of Judea and Samaria, what people like to call the West Bank. By the way, I'm not that sensitive about calling it the West Bank. And I know that this is a discussion and there's a certain amount of sensitivity around calling it the West Bank. The West Bank, clearly of the Jordan River. And some people don't like to call it the West Bank because it's got certain connotations. But I don't really mind calling it the West Bank simply because it just denotes an area, a geographic area, and not because it makes a political statement about the West Bank and the East Bank and, you know, all of those discussions that have historically been associated with the term the West Bank. So I don't mind calling it the West Bank. And I know you guys are going to jump in. You're going to tell me what you think about it. But I'm going to call it the West Bank. And so this incident of the running over this IDF soldier took place near to Kochav Yaakov, which is in the West Bank. And what happened, I've actually seen a video of the incident. And she was walking down a pavement towards an intersection with another road, like on civilian business, like not part of any IDF operation, not part of a security checkpoint, not on duty in any way, simply walking down the road as you would do, as anybody would do. And then we see a car coming up the road. Well, first we saw a car coming up the road. The car stopped it waited for a few moments at what seemed to be some sort of I don't know if it was a checkpoint for an entrance to an office car park or something like that. It didn't seem to be a security, an IDF checkpoint. And then we saw this female soldier walking down the road in the opposite direction. The car literally did a U-turn, traveled down the road towards that intersection where she was standing on the corner, on the pavement, on the corner of an intersection, accelerated as the car went over the pavement, cutting the corner, and then I saw the body, literally the soldier being thrown into the air as the car hit her, and then the car simply, it seemed to drive over her, because it just continued on, it didn't stop at all, just continued driving onto the main road and went on its way. That was the incident. Now, there can be little doubt that she was targeted because she was wearing an IDF uniform. There was no other interaction between the individuals concerned. She didn't even see the car coming towards her. I saw that she kind of had her back towards where the car was driving at her. So she probably wouldn't even have seen the car driving towards her. I understand that the car was later stopped at a checkpoint a little bit further along. The individual, the driver concerned, escaped from the car. Soldiers were there at the time, and he was shot and killed. It turns out to be a 45-year-old person from the city of Betunia, which is near to Ramallah, a father of five children, somebody who holds an Israeli work permit and was actually employed at a supermarket in Sha'ar Binyamin, in the industrial zone in the West Bank area. So this was somebody who kind of was legitimately there. He didn't have to break in. He didn't have to tell any stories or what. There was no attempt to try to break in for someone who was under surveillance. And so very, very worrying indeed that this has happened. The female soldier, we understand, was conscious at the time that she was treated, that she's been taken to hospital. She had quite extensive injuries, and she's reported to be in serious but stable condition in the hospital. When you see how she was hit by that car, terrible. It's a miracle that she is alive.
It's just amazing to me to think that a person can hate somebody they don't know with such intensity that they are prepared to jeopardize their own lives, his own five children, and life that he has, because he knows he's going to get caught. There's little doubt that he will get caught in a country like Israel. There's no way he's getting away with it. And yet, his hatred is so powerful against this young woman who he doesn't even know, who wasn't engaged in anything other than walking along a pavement, that he's prepared to give up his whole life. That's what I find quite astounding.
And unfortunately, this is not new, because it was former Prime Minister Golda Meir who said, we can only really have peace when our desire and love for peace supersedes the hate that we receive in return. And that was a statement that she made all those years ago. And unfortunately, not a great deal has changed.
It's very, very sad that it hasn't. And Prime Minister Yair Lapid has written to 50 countries on the matter of a case against Israel being brought to the International Criminal Court.
So, yeah, this is a case that's actually with the United Nations at the moment. And the case has been authorized by a United Nations committee, which means that it can now be brought to the United Nations General Assembly, and the General Assembly will be asked to approve a resolution to bring this case to the International Court of Justice in The Hague. And the resolution is as follows. It asks the International Criminal Court of Justice to urgently weigh in on Israel's prolonged occupation, settlement, and annexation of the Palestinian territory, which it says is violating the Palestinians' right to self-determination. That is the case that is being brought before the General Assembly of the United Nations, who will then vote to agree or disagree with bringing the case to the International Court of Justice in The Hague, and Israel could potentially be asked to answer to that particular case.
Which is now, such a bizarre statement in of itself.
Well, just to put everything into context so that everybody understands where all of this has come, and you know, forgive me for going back to 1948, because I think it is relevant. Mm. In 1948, the United Nations was asked to vote upon a partition plan which said, you guys, the Arab world, will get that piece of land, which actually equates these days to the so-called West Bank, exactly what is being fought over at the moment, and the Jews will get the other piece of land on the other side, and the two of you will set up states and you will live side by side. And that's what's being offered to you right now in the Palestinian partition plan of 1947 that was brought to the United Nations. And the Arabs said, no, we don't want that. And the Jews said, yes, we'll take it. So the Jews took what is now the state of Israel and went about trying to build up a country. And the Arabs effectively divided the piece of land that was supposed to be given to an Arab state, which was divided up against amongst a number of different Arab countries, until 1967, when during the war, the Six-Day War, Israel conquered some of that land in order to try and bring greater protection. Until that moment, there had not been any attempts to create the so-called Palestinian self-determination state, call it whatever you will, because until 1967, they would have been easily able to do that.
Because the land was in Jordan and Syria and everywhere else. Yeah,
exactly. I know we've run out of time, but since 1967, of course, this whole Palestinian self-determination movement has arisen to the point now where it's being brought to the United Nations to be voted upon as to whether what Israel is doing is tantamount to settlement, annexation, occupation, and violating the Palestinians' rights to self-determination. Yair Lapid has written to 50 heads of state to ask them not to vote in favor of this resolution, but obviously time will tell, and the United Nations is a very unpredictable place.
It really is very, very frightening and completely bizarre. Anthony Rock, it is where we leave it at 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.